Welcome to the Insurance Leaders Lab podcast, designed for insurance professionals and leaders seeking inspiration, bold ideas, and actionable strategies. Our guests are remarkable individuals from various insurance industry sectors, and our host, Nina Shepherd, has been an insurance leader for over three decades. Together, we explore what it truly means to be a bold and impactful leader and find personal fulfillment in the ever-evolving insurance world. New episodes are released bi-weekly on Thursdays. Be sure to follow the podcast on your platform of choice to receive alerts when new episodes drop. Bold leaders, frank dialogue, actionable strategies. Welcome to the Insurance Leaders Lab. Good morning, everyone. I'm excited to welcome a remarkable Don Christie to the Insurance Leaders Lab podcast. Don Christie is a former attorney focused on AI and cybersecurity, award-winning author, and trusted advisor to business leaders navigating AI adoption and cyber risk. Her award-winning book, 33 Ways Not to Screw Up Cybersecurity, is a practical guide to tackling human error, the leading cause of cyber attacks. As the founder of CyberDawn, she brings 12 years of expertise in cybersecurity, cyber insurance, data privacy, and governance. Her global experience spans 25 years in risk management across industries, including post-9/11 security. Dawn believes when it comes to AI and cybersecurity, prevention beats reaction every time. Good morning, Dawn. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today. It's an honor to have you.
Good morning, Nina. It's nice to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
You're very welcome. I want to begin with the acknowledgement of your exceptional courage and boldness. We first met when you were at the turning point thinking about starting your own business after being in the insurance industry for a while. Today, you're a member of the Harvard Business Review Advisory Council and an industry-recognized expert helping organizations turn AI risk into opportunities for ROI and resilience. That is a fantastic accomplishment. There are not many female leaders in the AI cybersecurity space. How did it all start for you?
That's such an interesting question, and I appreciate it. You're right about the women in cyber and in AI, and that's a constant challenge that we're facing, and more women are going into those industries, which is really positive. For me, it started with a realization that risk wasn't just ticking off a compliance box. It's really a business enabler when done right. So my journey began in law, and that's where I really understood this idea of resistance to safety and security long before I worked in the insurance industry. And then moving into cybersecurity and really learning about what that meant, especially in the earlier breaches that we had in the early 2000s. As fate would have it, I worked in insurance and reinsurance overseas, but when I came back and joined one of the large brokers here in Chicago, I really got attracted to and had the advantage of being involved in cyber insurance. It had existed for quite a while, but it was still relatively new around 2012. And it was such an exciting time because a new line of insurance business, you know, that catches the attention of the market. And then moving from that to coming back to Chicago, which is my home city, just at the time of the release of ChatGPT, and I realized, wow, here's another emerging risk, just like environmental, just like product liability, just like cyber, and now we've got a new emerging risk. This is a time for me to now pivot and get involved with the AI risk side of things so that people are aware of both the benefits and the risks. And that was how the journey started.
Tell me a little bit more about that.
What sure.
has it been like to do this pivot?
The sort of thread that I've seen really my whole career when it comes to like liability, but particularly in cyber, is this human error factor, the human factor. And so the reason I wrote my book and the reason I started my business, and then when I came back to Chicago and decided to really pivot into full-on AI and cybersecurity advice. It's education, it's strategy, it's leadership. It's kind of all the things that interest me, this idea of teaching people, training, and then making sure that they follow diligent behavior. And then, of course, how do they fund losses that occur, either self-funding or insurance? So that was really the pivot. It's like, it's similar to the discussions that we had about cybersecurity before AI became emphasized. But now with AI aiding cyber criminals, in other words, they are able to do better with the AI tools in terms of persuasion. I saw that as a real need, a gap to fill.
Insurance people are used to thinking about cybersecurity from two angles. On the one hand, it's a good business for everyone because we now have a relatively new type of policy to sell to both personal and commercial clients. And on the other hand, there is a huge operational risk and burden in terms of finance accompanying anything cyber and security. And now, as we add AI component to the mix, it's getting heavier and more threatening to many people, especially if we are talking about smaller organizations like insurance agencies or MGAs that do not have so much resources available to them. Do you have a way to explain in simple terms what are the necessary steps for every business, every leader to take in order to be prudent in this area?
Well, I like to use a timeline. I'm big on timelines, graphs, and maps. People that know about that. And so if you look at a timeline and you have, you know, a risk that's on the far end of a timeline, and then if you go along to the right, it's prevention, prevention, prevention. And then there's a crossroads and there's an attack. And now it's reaction, reaction, reaction. So the idea is, you know, for prevention, it takes preparation, it takes education, diligence, preparing an incident response plan and funding, right? On the reaction side of the graph or the timeline, again, you have had to have prepared. You have to be resilient. You have to recover and survive. And that's either with insurance or without insurance. So, you know, the years of companies saying, especially SMBs, saying, well, we really don't need cyber insurance. And we heard that over and over again until really during and post-pandemic. And now it's really the same with what I would call AI-based cyber risks. Mm-hmm. And so it's the same persuasion that's really needed and the same enlightenment that you have to realize you've got to prevent, and that's better than reacting. If you can't prevent everything, every loss, every risk can't be prevented. But then you have to prepare in advance on how you're going to react. And so there's a real strategy of pulling insurance into your business strategy, and particularly now in the era of AI.
Interesting. From insurance perspective, it sounds to me as a more of a risk management, risk prevention strategy, which we are used to recommend to, you know, to our clients also in other spaces.
Well, I'll add this, you know, companies need to balance AI innovation and cyber risk with their with a business first mindset. You know, that's really next for the industry. AI is now rewriting, forcing is probably a better word to say, in rewriting the risk models. So you've got AI with risk models, you've got AI with underwriting strategies and cyber insurance, and how insurance quantify AI-driven risks is difficult because even the regulators are behind. You know, AI is like a fast-moving train and everyone's trying to run and catch up on the train and jump on the train. And that's both the insurance industry and the potential insureds. So, you know, there's a lot of unknowns right now, but, you know, the companies that really grasp this and try to do better will be ultimately the leaders. And those that can't grasp this and end up not with proper insurance and not proper funding, they may not survive. Because if you look at the next 1, 3, 5 years and what's going to develop with AI and how industry and insurers are playing catch up, there's going to be some that are progressive and do well, and that there will be others that just don't.
All right. So, Don, from that perspective of being ahead of the game for SMBs, what do you think are the best strategies for them? So where to start for someone who not tech savvy and doesn't have many resources to spend on that, but realize that there are things that need to be done. What's the minimum from your perspective? If I'm an insurance agent or an insurance small business like MGA with, I don't know, 20, maybe 50 people working for me, where do I focus my efforts if we are thinking cybersecurity and AI risks?
Well, the one thing that you have to think about is, are the wordings changing? You know, because you've got a non-standard cyber insurance policy. So you would have to think about, is there actually AI coverage in the wordings? Are people seeking that within the industry? Because it's like the early days of cyber insurance or the early days of environmental pollution wordings, and all these things were new. And there were a few pioneers that came out with them more than the entire industry. So there's an evolution that's going to take place. And then for the industries themselves, the potential insureds, they need to think about an AI expert within their company, even if they're small. Do they have one person that they can assign to that? Do they have a committee, or do they need to bring in an outside consultant to help them? But they need to be savvy about what they need to know before they start AI adoption, because you can either adopt AI quickly without giving the risk side a thought, or you can adopt it with considering the risks, such as the bias and the data that's coming in. Will your team release intellectual property that you don't want shared on the internet? So you need to have the potential guardrails. And so there's going to be a real sort of balancing between what the insurers offer, what's new and pioneering, and then what are the insurers or businesses doing to make sure that they are adopting AI soundly.
Okay. Is that the moment where you would come in as the consultant in a consultancy role to advise the small businesses?
Yes, I would come in as a consultant. And I also have a network of experts that I work with. So I am more of a cyber risk and cyber insurance expert. I have people that are the cybersecurity tech folks that will come in and help with that. And then also privacy experts. You know, right now it's difficult for someone to say they're an AI expert because it's so new. We're all kind of ships rising at the same time, so to speak, with learning, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, to say, oh, I'm an AI expert, that's a stretch for most people. But you need to think about this, if you see it, almost like a group of ships coming in. But really, this idea that you need to make sure your cybersecurity measures are stronger than ever, and that you have, you know, your risk awareness training to overcome human error within your entity. And then you need to think about, how do you actually adopt AI and what do you need to do for that? And that is also training and guardrails. You have to have some policies of when it can be used, what it can be used for. Does everyone have access or only certain people? And so that's like really a new beginning there.
Okay. Yeah. There's a lot of things that need to be reconsidered, I would say, from the operational perspective for every business.
Yes. And that's why you hear about, you know, there's all these studies coming out on percentages. How many companies are really adopting AI? How many are concerned about adopting? You know, is the uptake as high as everybody thinks because AI is in the news every day? And there is a percentage, and I don't have the current stats today because it really fluctuates, but there's a large percentage of businesses that fear it and don't want to adopt it until they understand it better. And so that's where you can work with someone like myself or somebody else who has the overview of the potential risks, and then think about that and say, okay, we're going to get our ducks in a row. before we bring the AI in, or we'll bring it in and work with somebody who can make sure that it aligns with our business strategies, but also is, you know, aligns with our risk tolerance level.
Right. Okay. As we are at the beginning of 2025, and you have that insight into what the real tech people conversations about AI are at the moment, how do you see this topic evolving in 2025? Like, what are we facing, or what do we need to consider now as businesses for 2025 specifically?
Yeah, I think, you know, you have to be open-minded to this. You're going to keep hearing about AI. And if you don't hear it through the news, you'll hear it from your team. Are we going to get it? Can we use it? Can we use it in our own phones, which brings up, you know, shadow IT, shadow AI? But it comes to really this idea that cyber risk is no longer an IT issue. It's really a business continuity issue. And cyber risk has now elevated because of AI. That's the first thing you have to realize, is the risk is greater, right? And then this idea of prevention, and what are you doing to prevent an attack? And then if you can't prevent it, how do you react in a way that's resilient? The other thing is the insurance industry will keep evolving. So how do you keep up with perhaps new clauses and wordings that are already existing or will come this year? And how does that play in sort of overall liability? Because it, you know, it could impact more than just cyber. It could impact other liability coverages because of the extent that AI will sort of be indoctrinated into our systems and our culture. The insurance professionals, you're going to have two buckets: those that embrace the AI and those that are afraid of it or not as curious and therefore wait. And so what I describe sometimes in my talks is you've got the tinkerers with AI that are learning about AI, and then you've got the black belt, which is those that have, from the minute ChatGPT came out, they dove in, they learned every tool that comes out, they're totally into it. And so within your entity, be it insurance or any other industry, you may have people that are like black belt AI users that you want to nurture to say, these are people that can help us if we want to move forward. And then how do you bring along those that are hesitant?
Mm-hmm.
And don't want to use it. And you're going to have a split there.
Yeah, that's very interesting. There's definitely a lot of challenging tasks that leaders of every company are facing in 2025 in the context of implementing or not implementing or dealing with AI and everything what it brings.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think you and I have talked about this before, about sort of, you know, if you could imagine something that would help. There's a couple of things that I thought about recently, because, you know, there's a lot going on with AI. It's just been busy with new tools and new people adopting it and things. And so for the insurance industry, I thought, wouldn't it be interesting if they had some sort of real-time AI risk calculator, which doesn't exist, of course, but thinking, wouldn't that be interesting if you're just saying, imagine what somebody might be able to develop. And so it would adapt based on evolving cyber threats and then the evolving business behavior that may shift through education. So is there like a risk calculator that people could develop, which using an AI tool to create it, it may actually come about. There may be an AI-created risk calculator
okay.
in the future. And then the other thing is there's cyber resilience, and can you actually rate cyber resilience? Because inevitably, you know, we've said this in cyber insurance for years, don't assume you won't be attacked, assume you will be. And this term cyber resilience, which has been out for about a decade, but really highly emphasized in your culture and how you're going to survive an attack. And so there could even be someone that creates a cyber resilience rating system for AI-driven businesses. It goes right into that industry. And then the other thing that I discovered, I guess it was the beginning of the year, is that there's actually now companies that are providing sort of AI incident response plans. And so they're using AI tools to create the plans and to help you automate the responses. And so we're also entering a profound era of automation because of AI.
Yes.
And this is the opportunity benefit side, right?
Right.
And so if there could be an automated incident response where someone doesn't say, to use a negative story, my computer's locked and all my phone numbers are in the computer, how do I reach anyone? Because they didn't think to have that offsite. If it was automated some way where it would just kick in when something occurred, I mean, these would be sort of ideal goals for the future.
Hey, Don, you just created three ideas for our listeners. That is really...
So if anybody's an AI wizard out there and can create these things, because, and you know, and just to add to that point, AI has been used in cybersecurity for years, you know, is a defense mechanism, and particularly with this automation and, you know, able to track data, and it's been used with email filters and all sorts of things.
Yeah.
But we didn't have the generative AI emphasis at that time that we have now for the past 2 years. The LLMs and the generative AI have shifted it. And so it's more urgent.
Well, those three ideas that you just came up with in our conversation, that is the angle that I think could make AI an opportunity for many people. Right?
Sure.
And for the insurance industry as a whole, that's the great angle to look at the AI and automation. There are certain risks and huge risks, and prevention is the key here. And from the other point, there is so many opportunity out there that it could allow us make insurance more efficient.
Yeah.
More productive.
Well, if you look at the history of insurance, and, you know, I'm a learner, I'm constantly learning. And the idea is to teach what I learn. I mean, that's what I love to do, to write and to teach what I've learned. And, you know, I'm always going to be a learner. That's just how I'm wired. And, you know, there's things that you're going to have a bright star within every company.
Right.
That latches onto this and says, I'm running with it. Give me some leeway. Give me some tools. Give me some training. And let me see what I can find out to help our company with. And then that could actually jump from just a company-based thing to an industry-based thing. And if you look at like the history of EIL policies, and I think AIG promoted that way back in the day with environmental pollution. And then you look at the it might have been AIG for the first cyber policy long ago. But there tends to be like a front runner within the industry that comes up with a new wording and promotes it. And then it's a question of whether other carriers adopt it, the Lloyd's market, et cetera. So if you think of that with, you know, AI wordings and AI tools for the insurance industry, it's the same thing. If you discover who your black belts are in AI in your company, you have to really nurture that.
Yeah. That's a great recommendation for leaders to look for those black belts.
Yes.
Early adopters and see what they come up with. That's a
because
great
keep in mind, if they are not encouraged, they'll go elsewhere.
That's
the thing about it's that whole issue of retaining top talent, which has been an issue for years in cyber with people jumping around. And now the same thing with AI. If you have an AI guru in your midst, my goodness, hold on to them. Don't let them go elsewhere in your industry and find out, you know, how you can work with them. If you bring in an expert, in quotes, to work with them, whatever they need, try to nurture that, because then they can bring the rest up with them, or at least some of the rest of your team.
Yeah, absolutely. Don, as we approach March, an internationally recognized month for honoring women and their accomplishments, my quick internet search revealed that women comprise only 22% of AI talent globally, with even lower representation at senior levels, occupying less than 14% of senior executive roles in AI. Do you see this as an issue?
In my mind, it starts with STEM education and support for women in STEM industries. And that has trickled into cybersecurity and now AI and the statistics that you mentioned. There's all sorts of studies that show that young girls, they actually use the term, they fall off the cliff of interest in STEM subjects at around 12 years old. And there's all sorts of reasons for this. Wow. Where they could be the top student in their math class and suddenly at 12, they think they're stupid. And there's all sorts of biases that lead to that sort of decision-making. But if you inspire the girls to study STEM, and that leads into biomed or cyber or AI, whatever it might be, we really have to start with our young people to say, you can do this and we need you in the future. And from then they go to high school and college and what have you. The statistics that I follow is that by the time someone's at university or college level, they've already ingested all of these biases, criticisms, lack of support, etc. So oftentimes, even if they get a STEM-based role, they only last a year or two in the job and then move on. Oh, so wow. There is this need to really build almost like a pipeline of people that are interested. And if it's STEM, it could lead to cyber or AI. And it certainly will lead to AI because the young people today will grow up with AI. It's just going to be part of their life and they're not going to question it. But how do you then harness the talent to make sure it goes into both cyber and AI and privacy? You know, all of those are interrelated. And that's the challenge we faced, and that's why there's still a month dedicated to women, because we still have a long way to go.
Yeah. Are you involved in any projects that support girls in STEM?
Yes, this is something that's a passion of mine. And so outside of what would be the normal sort of work things, I get involved with girls in STEM projects, and I mentor girls and teens and even students that are in college. And one of my intentions is to actually found or get investors for the Girls in STEM Academy. And the thing is, they do exist. There are boot camps, there are schools, there are programs, but there's not enough of them. And
we
also,
need more. Yeah,
and you also have to support those that are not able to pay high tuition rates in some of the programs. So there has to be sort of, you know, a student body, and then there also has to be scholarships so that you're pulling in all sectors of society. But that's something that's a dream of mine. And, you know, I always work at that behind the scenes with connections and investors and people that I meet. And especially now in the era of AI, it's more important than ever.
That's amazing. I love that you are putting a foot forward there to support the future generation of girls. I'm sure that talent is needed in the AI industry, and they have so much to bring with them. And yes, at the moment, the industry is missing on the opportunity to attract the right talent. So
yes,
keep a good work there. That's great.
Thank you.
Don, from a personal perspective, what is emerging for you in 2025?
Well, I think it's time for me to offer courses. I've done a fair amount of writing and speaking, but how do you get through to people on a broader spectrum? And by getting through, I mean making this risk awareness available to people. Because there are a lot of people that really are not risk-wired and don't think about the risks when they're in the digital world and working digitally, and they're not thinking about cyber risk and AI risk and how the intersection of the two meet up. So I am this year going to launch courses. It could be something that people can do online on their own. And it could be that with a mixture of, you know, live courses weekly, along with the recorded courses. I'm still playing around with that. And I'd also like to, I'm big on collaboration because everybody can't be 100% cyber, 100% privacy, 100% AI. There's a mixture. I think collaborating with other experts on some of the projects I'm working on is important because if a company needs help in all those areas, they almost need a team to come in and do a one-on-one or do a group session or do a workshop or go in monthly or quarterly to help. And so I feel that I'm at a time now where I need to offer courses. I've written a book and I've done all of these other things, but the coursework has to now be created.
That sounds very interesting and exciting. Okay, as we are approaching the end of our conversation, is there anything that you would like to share that I haven't asked you about?
Well, since you're focusing on insurance, I would just say that insurance professionals who embrace AI risk education will become the leaders in their field. So there's a learning curve here. We all are learning about AI. This is something new. And so those that really embrace it, they learn it themselves, and then they help their colleagues and clients learn it. I think that's the way to go this year. And there's going to be a lot of stops and starts and people figuring things out. And we live in a litigious country. So there's bound to be litigation surrounding AI and how it impacts, you know, anything from hiring to insurance coverage disputes or what have you. So keep your eyes open and learn everything you can if you want to be a leader that can say our insurance company and our insurance professionals know about the AI related risks.
That's a great advice. Thank you. Thank you so much. If our listeners would like to learn more about what you do or reach out to you, where could they find more information?
Okay, I'm on LinkedIn, Dawn Christie. My website, thecyberdawn.com, easy to access me there through the contact page. You can also check out my book, 33 Ways Not to Screw Up Cybersecurity, which is on Amazon in paperback and ebook. And I have my author page there if you want to learn more about me through Amazon. And then, of course, my upcoming coursework on AI and cyber risk, which I will be launching this year.
Dawn, thank you very much for an insightful conversation. I'm sure that our listeners enjoyed it. I personally learned some new things that I didn't realize before we started today. So thank you very much again for your time, and I wish you a wonderful rest of your day.
My pleasure. And happy to help. Take care, Nina.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Insurance Leaders Lab podcast. If you like what you've heard, please like it and leave a review on your preferred podcast platform. If there is anyone else in your circle who can benefit from listening, please share this link with them. Remember, this is a podcast for you, and your opinion matters to me. So if there is any topic you'd like to bring up, please send me a note to nina@ninashepherd.com. I'll see you back in 2 weeks on Thursday morning. Bye for now.